And today, I guess in keeping with that, I want to preach about the right visitors, the right visitors. Many people approach the scriptures different way in their interpretation of the scriptures. And hermeneutics is the science behind the study of scripture. And there are a lot of people, a lot of believers who approach the scriptures in a more reformed or covenant way, some in a dispensational way. And although I would consider myself more of a dispensationalist, I approach the scriptures in a very Jewish way. Okay? You may say, why? Well, you know, when Jesus, after he rose from the dead and he was walking with the disciples on the road to Emmaus, the two disciples, it said that he shared with them from Moses to all the prophets the things in the scripture concerning himself. Now, that's the whole Hebrew Bible, the Tanakh, and that's the whole Hebrew Bible. And he told the disciples the same thing when he met with them later that night. And Paul reminds us that everything that was written before was written for our learning and edification, right? And Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. So I think it's very important that we understand what the Old Testament says. Now, we're a New Testament church. There's no doubt about that. I am not messianic in the sense of believing in a messianic Christianity where Judaism is brought into our worship and our practice. Paul tells us that we're the church. That dividing wall has been broken down between the Jew and the Greek, right? Between the bond and the free, between male and female. If we were worshiping in Jesus' day, ladies would be sitting on one side, men would be sitting on another. And, so there are things that are very different. But we have to understand the Old Testament to understand the New Testament. So today, I'm going to preach a message from Luke 2. And we're going to see and hear some familiar things that we often hear at Christmas time, okay? But being as this is a study in the life of Christ, and Pastor Andrew is going through the Gospels chronologically, we land here at the birth of Christ. And I've titled the message today, Migdal Eder, and that's Hebrew from Micah chapter 4. And it means the tower of the flock. And a lot of times we're very familiar with Micah 5:2 at Christmas time, but not Micah 4:8. So I hope that we see something today and we understand some things. So let's remember first off the life-changing news given to Mary and to Joseph. Their life was not going to be exactly as they planned. Remember, some of you are at this stage in your life now, some of you are not quite there, some of us are a long way away from it, but remember when you graduated from high school? How many remember that? Okay, I graduated from high school 44 years ago. Okay, Pastor Andrew reminded me of my age, and I eat dinner at 5 o'clock, so I look for early bird specials, all that good stuff. But anyway, you know, we had these plans. When Sandy and I got married, we had, somebody had told us, write what you want to do in the first 10 years of your marriage, put it in a box, and open it up after 10 years. Well, we never opened it up after 10 years because nothing in there happened. That we thought the way our life was going to be. Put yourself in Mary and Joseph's shoes, right? I'm sure they had their life planned out. And things didn't go as they planned. And neither would it be easy because of the scandal that surrounded Mary's pregnancy and as that scandal spread. Now, every mother plans on as easy as possible entry for their child into the world. In Mary's case, she would have notified a midwife. She would prepare a place in the home for the new arrival. But Mary and Joseph, who already didn't have the wedding they were planning, now weren't going to be able to have their son at home. Already facing social stigma at home, now they were facing a 90-ish mile trip by foot or possibly by donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Rugged terrain, in danger of highwaymen and animals and weather. Why? Because, as Pastor Andrew told us a couple of weeks ago, because of the taxation. But couldn't it wait until after the birth? You know, the iron legs and the iron feet of Rome, according to Daniel's image, didn't care about people's hardships. Remember, Israel was occupied by Rome during this time of Christ's birth. And when Caesar spoke, people listened, obeyed, or faced very severe consequences. But is that the real reason that Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, the taxation? Of course, the real reason is no. That's what got them there, but that's not the real reason. The real reason is so that prophecy would be fulfilled. Remember that Gabriel already told Joseph that Mary having Jesus was the fulfillment of Isaiah 7:14. And which we read at the beginning of the service. But now Micah 5:2, okay? But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. And also Micah 4:8, which says, and thou, O tower of the flock. See that phrase there, tower of the flock. In Hebrew, that's Migdal Edar. And the stronghold of the daughter of Zion. Unto thee shall it come. Even the first dominion, the kingdom shall come to the daughter of Jerusalem. Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. And the scripture stated that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. So the real reason for the taxation was to get Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem Ephratah so that the prophecy could be fulfilled. So let's examine the text. Let's turn with me, please, to Luke chapter 2. I know that Pastor Andrew preached on this a couple of weeks ago. I would just want to briefly go through this as kind of a reminder, kind of bringing us into the context. We see a taxing trip, verses 1 to 5, and look at verses 1 to 2. It came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. So again, a couple of weeks ago, Pastor mentioned this and spoke about the census and this possibly being the second census in a 14-year period. And what was this census? It was to count the citizens and to tax them, okay? Some things have never changed, right? Some things have never changed. We get censuses today, right? The Census Bureau knocks on your door, and some of you let them in and answer them. I do not, okay? That's just me, sorry. And then taxes. But they needed to go to their ancestral home. Look at verse 3 and 4. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, or house of bread, because he was of the house and lineage of David. Imagine that. In the kingly line, if Herod wasn't on the throne, Joseph's life may have been very different. But But he traveled to Bethlehem, David's birthplace, and David's inherited land. To Bethlehem, to the house of bread. And notice there's no room for them when they get there. And so it was, verse 6, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So Mary gives birth to Jesus. No midwife. No one to help but Joseph. And no room for them, we're told. Why is that? Well, Joseph's family is in Bethlehem, right? That's where he's from. He's got family there. Could Joseph's family have heard the news about Mary? Could it be that they didn't want him and her in the house because of the stigma? You know, if we have a baby out of wedlock today, it's no big deal, is it? We often celebrate it and you know, things like that. But in this day, think about it. There was no room for them. Could it also have been because of the crowds? We don't know why, ultimately. We know ultimately why, but we don't know a lot of the particulars about it. But may I suggest another reason why there was no room for them? To fulfill prophecy. And we'll have more on this in a little bit, okay? But notice in verse 8, the shepherd's fields, verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. The same country. In the Greek, this carries the idea of the same area. Okay? Micah 5:2. Remember what Micah 5:2 says. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah. Bethlehem Ephratah, house of bread. And Ephratah means fruitfulness in the Hebrew. Bethlehem Ephratah is the agricultural zone of Bethlehem. It was not in the town, okay? It was not, oh, little town of Bethlehem, okay? It was not the town. It was the agricultural region. And these shepherds that are here keeping watch over their flocks, these shepherds were not ordinary shepherds. But these shepherds, they raised the lambs and sheep that would be used for the Passover sacrifice in the temple at Jerusalem. And these fields, these shepherds' fields, were 5 miles to the south of Jerusalem. These fields were part of the ancestral land of David. And he sanctified these fields to raise the sacrificial lambs for the temple that he had prepared for, that later on his son Solomon would build. And these sheep and these lambs were the most looked after and cared for sheep in all of Israel, and may I say, even possibly, the most cared for and looked after sheep in all of the world. They were special. They were Passover lambs. Notice what happens in verses 9 to 12. The angels appear, verse 9. And lo, the angels of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The Shekinah glory lights up the darkness of night. And it says, they were much afraid. Now, shepherds are brave men. They often fight off wild animals in protection of their sheep. But when these angels came, they came and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were what? Sore afraid, very afraid. And notice the angel speaks in verse 10. And the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. So the angel speaks, and the first thing the angel says, he tells him, fear not. Don't be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. So I'm bringing you good news. Many times when angels visit, it's not good news they bring, right? When the angels visited Sodom and Gomorrah, it wasn't good news. But these angels were bringing good news, which shall be to all people. This good news is for all people, Jew and Gentile alike. For unto you, each person, for unto you is born this day. There's a new beginning today in the city of David, Bethlehem, to fulfill the prophecy of Micah 5:2. A Savior is born. A Savior. Someone who would save us from our sin. We need a Savior because we're all sinners. Which is Christ the Lord. Christ, that's the Greek way of saying the Hebrew word Messiah. So this speaks of the Messiah's humanity. The Messiah is born, which is Christ the Lord. This speaks of his deity, the uniqueness of Jesus' person. He's fully God, yet he's fully man. And this shall be a sign unto you. This is what you're to look for. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling cloths. This means strips of cloth. We'll talk about this in a moment. Lying in a manger. The manger was a crib or a feeding trough for the animals. So the title of this message is, excuse me, Migdal Eder, which means Tower of the Flock, from Micah chapter 4, verse 8. And that verse, that prophecy in Micah 4:8, states that the Messiah, the king, shall come to thee. What was the Tower of the Flock? They were towers that were built so that the shepherds could watch over the flocks. Now, I've had the privilege of being to Israel twice. And both times, we went to the shepherd fields. We did not go to Bethlehem. Certain times of the year, when you go to Bethlehem, you have to, I'm not being sarcastic, but you have to have a bulletproof bus because Bethlehem is under Palestinian control. But the shepherd's fields outside of the town of Bethlehem, you can see the remnants, you can see the ruins of these shepherd towers. These towers where the sheep would watch over, I'm sorry, the sheep would watch, the shepherds would watch over the flock and watch for predators or bandits and keep an eye on the sheep. They were according to rabbinic tradition, this particular tower was special, Migdal Eder. This one was special. The lambs that the high priest appointed for the Passover were taken to this tower and then wrapped in swaddling cloth to protect them from any harm or any blemish. And then they were laid in a manger and carried to Jerusalem to ensure nothing happened to them on the 5-mile journey to the temple. Because if the lamb was blemished, it couldn't be used. So what was the sign? The sign was, this babe will be wrapped in swaddling cloth and laid in a manger. Not only was the town prophesied, Bethlehem, not only was the area of Bethlehem prophesied, Bethlehem Ephratah, the fields, but the exact tower where the Messiah would be born was prophesied in Micah 4:8, Migdal Edar. And this, friends, foreshadowed the work of the babe that is born there, right? The babe that is born in this tower in the agricultural field on the area of Bethlehem would be none other than the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And a multitude of angels, verse 13 and 14, suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Friends, God is now on earth. Therefore, there must be an angelic choir to sing the praises of God. God had come to earth to save mankind. And the angels sing his praise. Imagine what that must have sounded like. These shepherds got to hear a little taste of heaven that night. They got to hear it. So the shepherds visit Migdal Edar. Look at verse 15. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with what? Haste. What does that mean? They got there real quickly, right? They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The angels leave and the shepherds go with haste and they quickly found Jesus. Why? Because, friends, they weren't going around Bethlehem knocking on doors to find a newborn baby wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. Hello, was there a baby born here tonight? No. Okay, next house. Hello, was there a baby born here? Why, yes. Is he wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger? No. Who would do that? What does it say? They came with haste and found. Why? Because they knew exactly where to go. Migdal Edar, where the high priest wrapped their Passover lambs in swaddling clothes and laid them in a manger. This is what they did every year. Who were these shepherds? Temple shepherds. What sheep were they raising? Sheep for the Passover. They knew exactly where to go. And there he was, the Savior, the Messiah, the Lamb of God. Totally fitting that Jesus' first visitors were temple shepherds, right? Now, you know, when we have babies in the hospital, a lot of times, you know, grandparents come and friends come and pastors come and people come. But the first visitors for Mary and Joseph and Jesus were temple shepherds. Very fitting. And notice their message, verse 17. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. the shepherd's message. Again, the first witnesses of the Messiah's birth were temple shepherds. Everybody they saw, they told. It's very interesting, friends, if you study this, and because of their occupation, you know, and because of their being, you know, considered unclean, these shepherds who raised the temple shepherds weren't allowed who raised the temple sheep weren't allowed in the temple because they were unclean. And here they get to see the Lamb of God, what? Which takes away the sin of the world. Mary ponders this. Ponder, the word ponder in the Greek means to put together. It means to think deeply. It's not just a word, oh, that was nice. That'll make a nice Christmas card someday. You know, that'll make a great manger scene to put, you know, in people, Christians' houses in the future. No, she thought about this. Why was Jesus born here? Why couldn't we find room? Why here? Why did these shepherds come? And she ponders this and she thinks deeply. And the shepherds glorified God. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You know, salvation had come to them, and they understood this message completely. Did Joseph and Mary know where to go? I don't think so. Where did they go first? To an inn, right? They were just trying to make the best of a very difficult situation. You know, you imagine taking your wife on a 90-mile hike when she's 9 months pregnant? Yeesh. Wonder what conversations went on during that trip. Remember, Mary and Joseph needed a Savior too. Could you imagine the nervousness as maybe Mary's water breaks and there's no room for them? Look, Mary, the best I can do is this tower. Let's have the baby here, okay? They were just trying to make the best of a very difficult situation, but God was weaving through Joseph and Mary's trial a beautiful story of redemption. This was a trial, but God moved them to the exact town. And if that wasn't enough, the exact area of that town, and if that wasn't enough, to the exact location in that town where the Messiah was to be born. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says, "Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened," because notice the last phrase, "For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Who were these temple shepherds? What were they responsible for raising? The Passover lambs, right? And what does John say when he introduces Jesus to the Jewish multitudes in John chapter 1? And verse 29, "The next day John seeth Jesus coming to them and saith," say it with me, folks, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." We might not, as Gentiles, when we first read that, understand. But you know who understood that? The Jewish people. They understood. You know who understood that? The shepherds understood that. And what did they do with that understanding? They went and told everybody they saw. God foretold the exact time the Messiah would come through Daniel. Okay? That's a message Pastor Andrew will probably preach when he gets to the wise men's visit. That's a message for another day. He also told the exact place where he would be born through the prophet Micah, in the agricultural section of Bethlehem, in Migdal Edar, the tower of the flock. You see, friends, this is much more than just a nice Christmas story. This is prophecy being fulfilled hundreds and hundreds of years before. Jesus is the subject of Scripture from cover to cover. In the beginning, Elohim, God, created the heaven and the earth. Elohim, that word in the Hebrew, has the I-M ending. It's a plural ending. Very first word. We already learned that this God, singular, is a plurality. We get to John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. From cover to cover, the Bible is about this coming Lamb of God, this coming Messiah, who would be the Savior for the whole world. Yes, born within the context and the economy of the nation of Israel, born under the law that he might redeem those who were under the law, but also born to save us Gentiles. And I know we're used to hearing this at Christmas time, but friends, Jesus came into the world to save us. For unto you this day is born in the city of David a Savior. Is he your Savior? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted his sacrifice for you? He is the Lamb of God. As the high priest would lay his hand on the lamb's head and confess the sin, first his own sin and then the sins of the nation on the head of the lamb, and he would kill the lamb and shed that blood, and that blood would go on the altar and make atonement for sin. It was all prophetic of what was to come. Jesus dying in our place as our substitute, as our sacrifice for our sin, and also to appease the wrath of God. There is no other sacrifice that God accepts. None. Good works fall short. Being religious falls short. Being a part or a member of a particular church or denomination falls short. Only Christ and his sacrifice saves. Like the shepherds that night, do you know that this sacrifice was for you? If so, praise God. If so, run with haste and tell everybody you meet about him. It's not just for Christmas, but it's for every day. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the prophecies that are exactly, precisely fulfilled. Lord, we see your sovereign plan from the very beginning, continuing now until the day when the new heavens and the new earth come. You are working out your plan. And our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, was the Lamb slain from the foundation, before the very foundation of the world. And we thank you that you are calling out for yourself a people from every tribe and every nation, a people who have looked upon the Lamb. People who have placed their trust in the Lamb's finished work. We thank you for Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We thank you that he is the subject of every page of Scripture. We thank you that he loved us so much that he gave himself for us. So, Lord, may each one here know Christ as their Savior. And for those of us who know you, may we be about your business, telling a needy world of their Savior. We thank you in Jesus' name.